Episode number 231, Camaro Design, a World Winner?
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
And welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jason.
Hey, you think we got enough stuff to talk about this week?
We got plenty of stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah, there's been some Camaro tidbits coming out this week that we can definitely go over for the podcast.
Moreover, we got plenty of stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah. We'll get into that later.
That's right. Well, the Office of Redundancy Office is going to check back in later on with a, we're going to do a thread of the week.
Yeah, we haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah, it's going to be towards the end, though, but in between now and then, what are we going to talk about here, Chris? What's this design award winner thing?
I don't know, but Camaro Design is up for this world award.
World Car Design of the Year.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about January sales.
And how good they are.
Yeah.
Well, how not bad they are. How about that?
Yeah. There's a new exhaust out for the V6 Camaro.
Yeah, we'll get into that. A couple of voicemails and emails?
A couple of voicemails, emails, and some more Mustang news.
Mustang news. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
So let's kick it off. Let's talk about this World Design Award the Camaro is up for.
Yeah.
I think it's very cool that the Camaro design is being recognized for a world award, whatever this thing is that they're this. What is this award called?
The World Car Design of the Year freaking thing.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah, all right. Go Camaro, right?
Yeah, go Camaro. But here's what the Camaro's up against.
Mustang and Challenger?
Oh, no.
Corvette?
No.
Viper?
No.
A
Toyota Prius.
With hybrid synergy drive?
Yeah. I hear they brake really good, too.
Yeah, they brake right into something.
The Kia Soul.
That looks like pregnant roller skate.
Kind of looks like a
pregnant roller skate.
Yeah. This Citroen C3 Picasso.
Citroen. I used to know how to say that. Citroen. You know how to say it. It's. Oh, it looks like a Dodge Neon and a VW Beetle, a new Beetle, had an ugly cousin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And then what's that fourth car?
Camaro.
Three of these things are not like the... Or one of these things. Remember that old Sesame Street thing?
Yeah.
One of these things is not like the others. So, looking at the big picture here, we have three Econobox, little squirrely, funky... I mean, they're not terrible looking. I mean, they're not super hideous. But at the same time, they're nothing like a Camaro.
Yeah.
Does that actually put the Camaro at a severe disadvantage?
That's what I'm kind of thinking.
Because it's the odd duck out.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I don't know. But apparently, it's going to be voted on by 59 of the World Car Awards jurors.
Oh,
and we'll find out soon, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know what they're going to do? I hope I'm wrong. And I hope I'm going to be accused of being wrong and stereotyping at the same time. But they're going to look at the Camaro and they're going to go, ooh, gas guzzler. Oh, hell no. Oh, no. Geez, no.
Ooh, an American car.
Oh, yeah. God. Right. There you go. Yeah. Well, that's funny. Because the Camaro's brakes are freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
What can we say about that Prius?
I like the new slogan for Toyota this week.
What a feeling.
No.
What is it?
You know, it says, moving forward, Toyota. Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
Hey, whoa. Hey, that's not funny, no. Yeah, it is. Sort of, kind of. Maybe we'll talk about that Toyota thing in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get too deep into it. Because I could talk for an hour about it.
Yeah.
So what do you think is really going to win?
So who do you think is going to win?
You know?
The Kia Soul? The Citroen C3 Picasso?
They make bicycles, too, I think. Of course, that's where Kia started, according to the commercial. You know, it's going to be between the Camaro and the... Well, I'm trying to think outside of myself. I'm looking at the photos here. Chris, you're going to put the link in the show notes.
So yes.
Maybe we can get people to participate in the thread and say, hey, you know...
Well, I'd like to know if there's any American journalists on the panel as a juror.
Well, even if they are, if they, you know, for Consumer Reports, the Camaro's going to be completely, they're going to laugh at it and then probably pee on it. You know, they're just going to walk over and go, oh, what's this? Zip. Move on to a real design car that doesn't kill trees and small children. Oh, wait. That's right. The Prius does now kill trees.
It does also state in the article, though, here, as we've said before on our show, that according to Yahoo, Camaro was the most searched vehicle in 2009.
That's right. We talked about that in a previous show. So, I mean,
it also received the Popular Mechanics Automotive Excellence Award, too.
Yep, we talked about that in a previous show. We always bring that those goodies to you. I mean, if it's going to be a truly unbiased contest, I guess it's a contest, you know, they're not going to look at the whether or not it's fuel efficient or anything. They're going to look at the design.
I hope so.
But will
but, you know,
it hold
there's
up
always
against...
politics that play into part here, you know?
I mean, that Kia thing, I could see why it would appeal to people. It's kind of a fresh design. The Kia, whatever, the Soul. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
It's kind of a fresh design. It's all right. I wouldn't drive it, but...
You think that's fresh?
I think it's different. You know, the Prius...
kind of reminds me of the Nissan Cube.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Ugh.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Prius looks kind of like previous, the Honda Civics and things like that. And then that, like I said, it just looks like something else. Yeah. But I don't know. I hope the Camaro wins just because it's nice to say that the Camaro is that good and right. It's that... It meets all different angles of appeal, including just design and design alone. We'll see. I guess we'll talk about it in a future show. When does it say when the winner will be announced?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll find out soon enough, I'm sure. Yeah. I subscribe to that thread, so I'll keep an eye on it. We encourage everybody else to do the same thing.
Hey, you know what else this article says?
What's that?
It says that the Camaro has outsold the Mustang for 7 straight months.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, wow. Guess what? It just moved up to 8.
Yeah.
8 straight months because January sales were just announced.
Yeah. What were the numbers? Do we have numbers published?
Yeah, we sure do.
All right. Let's talk about them.
GM was up 13.6% with 5,371 Camaros sold.
In a month.
Well, Chrysler was down 8%. Only 1,683 Challengers sold. Ford was up 24.6% with 4,747 Mustangs sold. So it's keeping close.
Yeah. That's good. That's real good. I like that. I want to keep things, you know, one step ahead of the other.
Interesting numbers here, though, too, that Chevrolet Malibu outsold the Toyota Camry.
Hmm. How's the brakes on the Malibu?
I heard they're pretty damn good.
Yeah. What about, like, driver response to the gas, you know, acceleration and everything? Does it pretty much go and stop when you want it to? Or?
Pretty much.
That's good. That's good. That's a bonus for a car, you know. It's nice to have. No, we're not going to milk this out too much longer, guys. But all right, since we're talking about, let's talk about Toyota. Just briefly, do you think, Chris, that this is going to leave a long-lasting black mark on Toyota's record, or is it just going to be something that's going to be quickly forgotten about?
I think this is going to be something that's going to be studied in business classes for years to come.
That's a good observation.
I think that what you're going to do is you're going to look at Toyota, which is this huge company, Japanese company, who poured everything they possibly could to become the number one automotive manufacturer in the world. And they did. They surpassed GM. And but at what cost?
You know, well, that's the thing.
Obviously we're seeing quality has severely gone down because of the ginormous recall, you know, on Toyota vehicles. And then they're just more and more popping up. And then there's people saying that they're trying to cover up some things about the gas pedal. The National Highway Transportation Authority's looking into that as well. You know, I mean, they came out this week. This was kind of funny because they came out and said, stop driving your Toyotas. And then 2 hours later, no, that's not what we meant.
Yeah, well... No, it's okay to drive something that accelerates against your will and then maybe won't stop, you know, that's okay. It's safe. Yeah, I like knowing that my wife and child are driving around out there with cars that will just go out of control whenever the hell they feel like it. But I unless this is just, if this gets fixed, which it will, Toyota will fix this, and if there are no more instances after this, do you think that, you know, people are going to forget and say, okay, well, yeah, that was a problem, but now it's fixed. And Toyota hasn't had any problems since because Toyota is certainly going to step up their quality assurance programs.
Well, they've already announced that they're putting together a whole new quality control division, which is going to be led by the CEO, Mr. Toyota himself. So
Toyota.
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to wait and see. But there's a lot of damage control that's going on right now. I noticed that the Detroit auto dealers of Toyotas are running commercials on TV now trying to back up the fact that, you know, that they're working on the fix and you know, please have faith in Toyota. And my whole family drives Toyotas, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, they're in damage control mode right now.
And that's what I'm saying. I think that, you know, unless it's just one after the other, after the other, after the other, then, oh, yeah, it's going to have a significant impact. So
we'll see how many customers they lose. I mean, they've already showed that sales have dropped dramatically because of this.
Just for right now, maybe people are just waiting for the fix to be. I'm trying to be realistic, not just optimistic or pessimistic in either direction. I'm hoping that this also serves as a lesson to GM and Ford and Chrysler and everybody else to say, okay, we need to make sure that we don't fall into the exact same trap because they did before. You know, the Chevrolet Vega, the Ford Pinto, the Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that stuff, people still talk about that. It's joked about in movies, for crying out loud. I think it was Top Secret. They had a Ford Pinto there, and it got rear-ended like just a little ding, and
yeah,
boom! And
yeah, I remember that.
Boom, bam, kablamo, and all that. So, I mean, you know, I don't think that the Toyota, this one, is going to make that same impact. And quite truthfully, I hope it doesn't. I mean, nobody wants to see anybody lose money, go out of business, or get fired, or even get killed in the process. So hopefully they fix it, and there are no problems like this in the future.
Only time will tell.
In the meantime, this is just one more thing that to on the other side, this is a chink in the armor. Those cars are not perfect. They're cars like any other cars.
Right.
And GM and Ford and Chrysler and everybody else's quality control has been going up quickly.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll level the playing field. Let me just put it that way.
Okay.
That's it.
That's all we'll talk about.
I promise. Toyota. Yeah. What's next? Sales? We talk about sales? You want to do the voicemails or? Oh, no. Wait, before we do, I promised this in last week's episode.
Okay.
Our good friends at Cypress Classics Auto, they make the killer presentation boxes with the Camaro logos. They have 5th-gen and 4th-gen logos now. They wanted us to continue the special discount code. 25% off through the year of 2010.
Nice.
Yeah, which is a healthy discount on a very, very high-quality, made-in-USA piece. You know, picture frames, presentation boxes, they're just awesome to have. All you got to do is go to cypressclassicsauto.com, and that's where you can, of course, check everything out. When you're in the checkout section, enter Camaro Z28. And you'll get an instant 25% discount.
Okay.
Just like that.
That's beautiful.
Check out their stuff. I mean,
they've got the nice picture frames, too.
Yeah, they got picture frames, presentation boxes, and different sizes.
I think they do Corvette, too.
They do Corvette as well. These are one of those things that we said before. They're just awesome to have, and you can't appreciate the quality until you actually see them in person.
What's the web address again?
CypressClassicsAuto.com.
Okay. I'll link it up in the show notes.
And once again, the discount code, Camaro Z28, should be easy enough to remember.
Yep.
All right, now, voicemails.
Voicemails. Actually, we got an email, too.
We got an email?
I don't know if we're going to be able to answer this one, though, but we're going to read it and maybe...
You want to start off with the email?
Yeah, maybe one of our listeners has an answer.
All right, go ahead.
This one comes from Samantha. She says, "Hi, they're the Camaro Club of Victoria, Australia, suggested I give one of you guys a try. I have two Z28 right-hand drive imports. I'm trying to find where I can look up engine number listings to see whether the cars are authentic Z28s. The years are 1979 and 1981. Both are badged Z28s, but the engine hood plates are different. One has Z28 identified, the other doesn't. Any help would be fantastic. Thanks."
Wow, there's a rare one for you.
Yeah.
We don't get too many right-hand drive vehicle questions.
Right. I have no clue.
Yeah, that's a bit out of our, not so much out of our generation, but just a bit out of our range of knowledge.
Right.
We came into the scene during the 4th-gen era. However, we've always got experts standing by to help you out.
Yeah, whether they're on the message board or whether they're listening to the show.
That's right.
If you got an answer for Samantha, can you either email us or just call and leave us a voicemail?
And Samantha, we also encourage you, even if you do get an answer here in the podcast, to post in our classic tech forum or the general 1967 to 2002 forum.
Yep.
Because there might be somebody else out there that may want to know the same answer.
Absolutely.
Or has the answer for you that doesn't listen to the podcast. So definitely a good question. I wish we could help. But can't. Well, we can in the point by pointing in the right direction.
Right.
All right. So you want to, what was it? You said we got two
voicemails. We have two voicemails, right, too.
Kick one off.
Hi, guys. Mario92 from the boards. Hey, I just read about GM offering on the 2010 Corvette a launch control system that will help the matter drivers how good their experiences are to get more consistent quarter mile times. Now, if GM were to offer that in a Camaro, would that be a feature you guys would be interested in having? What are your thoughts? All right. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Good to hear from you again, Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were to offer this on, say, what? I don't know. The Z28? Hell yes.
Hands down, that would end my decision as to whether or not to get another automatic. I would, no question, get it on a manual.
That system is so cool. I was watching some videos, actually just last week, of a couple people who did a video podcast, and they were in a convertible 2010 Corvette showing the launch control. And, I mean, you put it in first, you push in the clutch, and you floor it, and you dump the clutch, and it just goes with limited wheel spin. It is awesome.
I thought they were supposed to put something like that on the 2010 Camaro.
Yeah.
Did we ever?
I don't think so.
No, maybe it was just a dream that I had. But
yeah, it's just awesome.
Hmm. So if they put it on, well, okay, all right. If they put it on Z28 or not, if they offer it like that, if it works like that, oh yeah,
yeah,
oh yeah, yeah. All day long, man.
When we're done with the show, I'm going to show you some of those videos. They're cool.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine every stoplight?
Oh yeah.
It'd just That's be like cool. It'd be like the '60s all over again. Yeah. Awesome.
If I remember correctly, I think this is on the Cobalt SS.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of. Yeah. How does that work? Anybody got one? I know we got a new member that has a Cobalt SS who's in Afghanistan right now. He posted in the new member introduction.
Okay.
Really cool guy. And he's moving from the Cobalt SS to a Camaro SS and had a lot of cool questions. So, a lot of people jumped in and helped him out. So maybe we'll pull him, or if you got a Cobalt SS and you played with it, or whatever vehicle has it, we can't keep track of the world.
Yeah.
So definitely a good point, Mario. And yeah, I'll get it to answer the question. Yeah.
Hell,
oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. John Fitzpatrick. Yeah. You. Yeah. Yes. Just do it. Thank you. All right. And speaking of cool questions, we're always open for them. We like to answer them. And here's how you can submit yours.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at Camaro Z28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
Okay, we have one more to go here.
Hey guys, it's Dave from Cincinnati again with the VTEC 2010 Camaro. Looked online at Air Rate, found the unit you were talking about for the pulled air induction, and even gave a picture and printed instructions on how to install it, and also a spacer for the throttle body. Appreciate the info, and hopefully I'll send you a picture soon of my red LT with automatic 6-speed tap shift and what I call the houndstooth, looks like it, but I love it, and waiting to hear from you guys on your podcast, and thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks for calling in, Dave.
That's cool. That's very cool.
I'm glad he found that for himself.
Yeah. With our help, I'm glad to help him out. Dave, here's what we want you to do. First of all, give us a review of the product.
Yeah.
You need to call in and tell us what you think of it. Second of all, you need to post in the 2010 V6 forum or the aftermarket forum, whatever you feel comfortable with, and give your thoughts on it so other people who have the same question can get a good answer.
Right.
So be honest about it. Tell us what you think. Tell us, does the car sound better? Does it sound different? Does it accelerate better? Is it just in your head? be honest about it. So
how's the butt dyno feel?
Yeah, how's the fit and finish? The whole nine yards, man. Let us know because people want to know.
Well, that kind of leads us into something else here that we were looking at this week, and it looks like there's a new exhaust system for the V6 cars now, too.
Yeah, from one of our supporting vendors, Stainless Works, who's technically a supporting manufacturer.
Yeah.
Check that exhaust out.
It looks pretty neat.
It's the GMMG-style chambered exhaust type thing.
Yeah.
And usually those things are ridiculously raucously loud.
This one isn't.
No, they've they submitted a pretty cool couple photos of it. Installation's got to be a breeze.
Yeah.
And
they've got a
so
YouTube
simple.
Video here too.
And here's the thing: the YouTube video is pretty indicative. It's pretty long. It's lengthy. It's detailed. It tells you what it sounds like.
Yeah. At idle, at wide open throttle, at drive by. And then they put it up on the hoist and show you the fit and finish of it.
I'll tell you what, why don't you pull it up while we're talking about it?
Okay. See what this thing sounds like?
Yeah, there you go. It's not.
No, my sound's not coming through the soundboard.
Oh. Well, we'll still listen to it anyway. We'll put a link to it.
Yeah.
It sounds reminiscent of, you're not going to get a V8 sound out of it. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
But you can still enhance the sound of the V6 Camaro.
Right.
It definitely has a little bit more throat to it. It makes me think a little bit, just reminiscent of the old Buick Grand National when they were modded.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, shoot, I wish we could play that through the system here.
Yeah.
No big deal. We'll just put a link to it in the show notes.
Yep.
People can listen for themselves. So, you know, just like the air raid thing, I bet you combine that with an intake. You know, what's the standards? Intake and exhaust, man.
Exactly.
It always is. So, definitely, somebody needs to pick that up.
Yeah.
Stainless Works, we thank him very much for being a part of the website and for supporting CamaroZ28.com, and hopefully somebody will pick up on their products.
Yeah.
I guess that's it for voicemails, eh?
Yeah.
Well, it's good. Those are two good ones. So here's where we're going to do something we haven't done in a long time. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's time for the thread of the week from the CamaroZ28.com message boards. If you want to get involved with the message boards, just go to CamaroZ28.com. You'll join over 50,000 Camaro and Firebird enthusiasts from around the world.
Okay, what are we going to do for the thread of the week?
This is just a cheap excuse to run the thread of the week because we haven't done it in so long. But I was, you know, floating around the lounge like I normally do, and somebody created a thread called "Anyone familiar with the 97X regarding
the
Saab?"
Oh, God, I know where this is going.
We talked about this. It must have been a couple of years ago because there was a funny review on the Truth About Cars website of the Saab 97X. And now I'm going to try to read this without losing it because either people are going to get it or they're not going to get it. So I get it, and that's why it's going to be tough to read. So I'm going to read the review of the Saab 97X.
Okay.
I'm already losing it. The Saab 97X is a Chevy Trailblazer with the ignition key between the seats. Moreover, the Saab 97X is a Chevy Trailblazer with the ignition key between the seats. I can't stand the fact that the Saab 97X is nothing more than a Chevy Trailblazer with the ignition key between the seats. And when you stop and think about it, the Saab 97X is little more than a Chevy Trailblazer with the ignition key between the seats. Who did GM think they were fooling when they released the Saab 97X, which is nothing more than a Chevy Trailblazer with the ignition key between the seats? You know what I hate the most about the Saab 97X?
What?
It's a Chevy Trailblazer with the ignition key between the seats.
Oh,
that's
God.
The entire friggin' review.
Oh, man. And that's why from time to time you'll hear us refer to something and then say, with the ignition key between the seats?
Yeah, it's no different. It's just, you know. So, yeah, loyal listeners will go, what is that about? And then they'll kind of gloss over it. That's it. That review is stuck in our minds.
Okay, I'll make sure I link that up in the show notes to the ignition key between the seats.
Yeah. Speaking of Chevy Trailblazers.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about this, I've had my 2007 Chevy Trailblazer SS since July 5th of 2007.
Okay.
It's a lease. The lease is going to end July 5th of this year. I don't know what I'm going to get.
Oh, I remember I was there a couple years ago when I got my Caddy. I had a whole list of vehicles. I just didn't know what I wanted.
The problem is that they don't make what I want.
What do you want?
Well, I want something that's small, mid-size, not full-size, with all-wheel or four-wheel drive.
Okay.
American.
Okay.
No Subaru. So I would get a Subaru if I wasn't, you know, I got to stick to my convictions on buying an American vehicle.
Yeah.
I wish GM still owned Subaru. God, that would make it so easy. I just get one. Ta-da, yeah. Done. Or Saab, I mean. Saab?
Saab.
Saab.
Yeah.
Because Saab made a vehicle that was based off the Subaru.
with the ignition key behind the seat.
Actually, one of our good friends, Rod Melchert, has one, and he got a smoking deal on it, and he loves it. I mean, it's all-wheel drive and turbocharged.
Yeah.
You can get turbocharged. But anyway, I got to do something. I got to have four doors, four-wheel drive, and it's got to be American. The only thing I could think of is a Chevy Colorado.
Does it have to be an SUV?
No, because a Colorado is a pickup truck.
Yeah, what I meant to say is, would you buy a just a car?
No. No.
It has to be a truck. It has to be something that SUV slash crossover or something.
It has to have a medium towing capacity. I need to be able to tow a trailer with snowmobiles on it at the very least. I was actually, believe it or not, thinking about a Jeep, like a used Jeep Liberty.
Yeah.
I had that Jeep Cherokee for so long. I beat the crap out of it. It didn't stop rocking, you know, and Jeep Liberty is kind of barely a replacement for it, but it's also satisfies the need. It's affordable. It's durable. They're cheap to fix. It's to a degree all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, four doors, and I can put a killer sound system in it, too. That's the cool part. But I don't know what else to do. Get a Colorado? I'd get a Colorado. One of the crew cab Colorados with the Z71 package and four-wheel drive and all that.
How about like an Avalanche?
Too big.
Too big?
I don't have room in my garage for it. I have a small garage. Mm. It can't be any bigger than a Trailblazer, let me put it that way.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to be stuck.
What about like a GMC vehicle? An Envoy or...
Well, isn't the GMC Envoy a little more than a Chevy Trailblazer with...
But it doesn't have a key between
different badge on the front?
Pretty much.
Moreover, a GMC... Okay. maybe, but what's the difference between that and just getting another Trailblazer at that point?
I don't know. Just a regular Trailblazer?
Oh, you can't go from a Trailblazer SS to a regular Trailblazer.
That is true.
You know, I want something that's... I don't mind buying a used vehicle this time. I've done the nice vehicle thing. I got my Camaro for that now. I didn't when I got the Trailblazer. I don't know. If anybody has any ideas, call, because I'm stuck. And I don't think there really is anything else out there. Mm. You know? Man, you know what I should do? I should go find a nice Cyclone.
Ooh, there you go.
They're reliable. Actually, I did...
Typhoon?
I did search eBay last night just for Cyclone Typhoon to see what they're going for. There was one Cyclone that had like 14,000 miles on a full-on race engine with a race cage in it and everything, but it was still a street vehicle, just didn't have back seats. Went for $6,000.
Really?
It was like a 600 horsepower all-wheel drive Cyclone that was been professionally built top to bottom.
Man, that'd be sick.
Oh, anyway, speaking of other cars, we talk about Mustang stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's a tidbit on the board, Chris. You got that? Can you pull that up and read that?
Yeah, yep. Here it is.
Okay.
There is no track pack for the 2011 Mustang GT. All the components in the 2010 track pack, minus the wheels, tires, and gears, are now standard for the 2011 model year. The Brembo package includes 19x9 aluminum wheels, summer only tires, probably the same 255s that came with the 010 track pack. And, of course, Brembo brakes. I'm not sure how much more weight this package will add to the estimated total for the standard GT Coupe, 3,603, but 50 pounds seems a little high.
So, basically, what I'm reading is the Ford Mustang is now stepping up in braking ability and quality to the Camaro, and then possibly surpassing it on the suspension end.
It's pretty neat.
Everybody would compare the Camaro to the Mustang track pack, saying that the track pack would outhandle it. Now it just comes standard?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That just means that Chevy's got to step up again. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because you know what? You know who wins? We do.
That's right. If you buy a Mustang, you win. If you buy a Camaro, well, hopefully, you know, it'll be up to
You'll win too.
Yep. We all win. Go Camaro. Hell, go Mustang.
Yeah.
What the hell? You know, why not? Go American Muscle.
Yeah.
That's what I say. So that's good stuff. I'm glad we talked about that. What are your thoughts on that? Call in. We want to hear from you. Call. Pick up the phone. Call. Now, call today. Now. Anything else going on?
No, I think that was a full show, man.
Yeah, it was.
We covered everything we wanted to cover here.
I made an update on my project car blog.
Did you?
It was a reminder for everybody to check out the SEMA 2009 video that director Casey J. Porter did.
Oh, well, you never sent out a reminder email because I never got one.
It was a post in the blog.
Oh. And if I'm subscribed to it and I never got anything.
You should have got it because I even got one.
Mm.
Yeah. So, well, if you didn't get one or if you didn't see it or didn't see the video, you're missing out big time. Just head over to PhantomSS.com. It's the latest and greatest entry.
Okay.
More is coming this summer. I got plans, baby. It's going to be fun. It's another thing that was talked about on the board. What are your plans for your Camaro? Post there and then call in and talk to us about it. We'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
But I guess we're out of time, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, as always, thanks everybody for listening. And be careful out in the weather this week. It's supposed to be pretty nasty in certain spots.
Yeah. Depending where you are in the country, you got anywhere from 20 to 40 inches of snow if you're on the East Coast there.
Mm, woo! Thank God we got traction control and Stabilitrack.
Yeah.
All right. Well, be safe, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.